All right, my friends, thanks for tuning into the podcast, where, as always, we'll discuss the professional literature and the evidence-based protocol as they relate to the effective treatment of clinically significant anxiety symptoms. I'm Chris Lines, licensed psychotherapist and OCD spectrum disorders treatment specialist, and this, well, this is OCD Straight Talk.
And when you're talking about the parts and how the parts fit together to form the self-perpetuating whole, the question that I think rightly emerges for many patients at this point is, well, like, why? Or what's the end goal? Which is maybe another way of asking, what's this thing going to look like when we're done? How do I know when I'm finished with psychotherapy or with this dreadful process of working to stop or prevent compulsions, which of course involves the skillful endeavor of identifying them in real time, right? How do I know when I'm done, or what is this thing going to look like when I've completed the journey? And I think that that's a good question, because often when we're talking about what does OCD look like when we don't have OCD anymore, meaning what does it look like when it's no longer severe enough to be diagnosed, to be considered clinically significant? And that's a good question because, I mean, lots of research has been done at this point, and the numbers are consistent over time. I mean, they've been reported by NBC News, even. They've been addressed and repeated by John Abramowitz and colleagues. We've seen over and over again across the general population, and to be clear, I'm not talking exclusively about the general obsessive-compulsive population. I'm speaking of the global population. That when we're talking about people everywhere, the numbers consistently suggest not just 90%, but more than that. It's approximately between 90 and 94% of people across the globe experience, at least occasionally, worrying thoughts, anxiety-producing thoughts, unwanted thoughts. Right. So when we start to talk about this idea of evidence-based psychotherapy for OCD, when we start to kind of get at what does life look like on the other side of this, when I've undergone this journey and I've fought this thing in the trenches, I've gone toe to toe and I've beaten this bitch, this really, really nasty anxiety-producing symptom machine, like, what does it look like after that? Because if 90% of the general population still has unwanted thoughts, then what the fuck am I doing, right? Where am I going with this? Because this isn't easy, you know, right? And of course, the OCD community echoes and responds, yeah, this isn't easy, right? So what does it look like on the other side? And I think that what it looks like on the other side is both a significant reduction in anxiety and a severely significant reduction in compulsive responses. What that doesn't necessarily mean is an absence of intrusive thoughts, right? And so if you can kind of imagine with me that we're experiencing intrusive thoughts and they're still there, maybe they're not there as frequently. Maybe we've reduced their frequency by something like, I don't know, 70%. But the idea becomes that when these thoughts happen, they don't really elicit the same level of distress. When they happen, you might say, they don't really bother me. You know, I've heard patients kind of describe it like a thought happens and I sort of wave, oh, hi, there's another thought. Just sort of like doesn't really get under my skin like it used to. It doesn't really bother me. It doesn't cause me significant distress. And you can look at that from the backward view of understanding the reduction in compulsions equals necessarily a corresponding reduction in psychoemotive symptomatology. But like short of all that stuff, the answer to the question is there is a significant reduction in anxiety that is elicited by the thoughts that we're having. So yeah, we're having fewer thoughts. We've experienced a significant reduction in the frequency of these worrying or intrusive anxiety-producing thoughts, images, or urges. That's different in terms of frequency, but it's also different in terms of power or intensity. The anxiety that they cause is just not the same animal. And for a lot of us, that's very, very difficult to imagine, right? It's at this point in our lives, we see the intrusive thoughts and the anxiety that they cause as sort of two sides of the same coin. They're really one entity. And it can be very, very difficult to imagine having the same old thoughts, but not feeling very distressed about it, right? And I think that if you can begin to imagine that idea, if you can begin to paint a picture in your mind where some of these thoughts still happen, you know, and you still worry that maybe you're a pedophile, or you still have the thought that maybe you're going to run somebody over with your car, and that you're going to get arrested and lose your identity and your life as you know it to be, and all of these kinds of thoughts that happen, or whatever it is, whether it's contamination or something else. The point is that when we are really beginning to dismantle this system, when we're robbing it of its needed compulsive oxygen and bleeding it dry of its life in terms of our behavioral responses that are fueling the mechanism, when we really begin to do that and make some progress and work consistently and in a disciplined fashion, really laboring to change our behavioral responses, not half-assing it, right? Listen to me, not half-assing it, but really working hard and getting into the nuts and bolts of, okay, what is it that I'm doing? If anything, what is it that I'm doing, however subtle, to try and prevent the anxiety from happening, to try and dismiss these unwanted thoughts, to try and protect myself from the feared outcomes? What is it that I'm doing? And hopefully your answer is fewer and fewer and far between. We're working toward absolutely nothing, right? Nobody's perfect, but that's the goal, that we're working toward nothing. And in the process of working toward nothing, we're dismantling the system, weakening the mechanism. And what it looks like is the thoughts are still there. Because again, remember, 90% of the population, this includes people who've never experienced OCD as you and I understand it to be. They've never been there. They've never walked that path. Yeah, even those people, right? The literature is pointing to even them and saying 90% of the general population has experienced intrusive thoughts and continues occasionally to have them now. Right, so the goal here isn't the absolute eradication of the intrusive thoughts. It's important that we're able to really wrap our mind around a realistic expectation. The goal isn't to eliminate the intrusive thoughts. I think it's a safe goal. It's a realistic goal to say that we're working to reduce the frequency of these thoughts significantly. And I think that it's a safe goal, and it's a realistic goal to say, and I'm working to really significantly draw back the intensity of my anxiety associated with these thoughts. And this is where I would submit to you your most direct pathway from where you are to where you want to be is working to tolerate those psychoemotive experiences. Psychoemotive meaning psychological or cognitive, that is to say intrusive thoughts, and emotive meaning the associated emotion or anxiety. So psychoemotive meaning the obsessional anxiety, right? Working really hard to tolerate, to allow the obsessional anxiety to be there, to persist, right? And not focusing so much on how long I'm going to be able to deal with this, how long I'm going to have to tolerate this, but just trying to live in the moment and recognizing I'm having this thought today. I'm feeling this way right now. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know how I'm going to feel, say, 5 minutes from this second, right? Or 24 hours from this minute. I don't know how I'm going to feel then and there, but I know that right now I'm having some psychoemotive symptomatology that fucking sucks. But can I work to really restrict and prevent all identifiable compulsions? Can I carry that attitude into tomorrow and into the next day and be disciplined and consistent about working to resist and prevent all identifiable compulsions? I think that that's the most direct pathway, right? Like I say, shifting your attention from how bad you feel and how anxious you are and how terrible these thoughts continue to be, shifting your energy and your attention away from the psychoemotive piece and focusing it on that which you can actually control. Focusing your energy and your attention on the behavioral response, the behavioral choice, right? Whether it's bouncing the leg or grinding the teeth or clenching the fingers or seeking reassurance or Googling or avoiding, ruminating, whatever it is, fill in the blanks, whatever it is. That's your target. That's your bread and butter, man. Focus your shit on getting those things controlled. Because once you get those things controlled, now we're actually making headway. The goal isn't get rid of the thoughts. Nobody's fucking getting rid of the thoughts. Maybe a lot of people have a lot fewer thoughts than you or I do, but that's the reality of it. Right? That's where we are. So let's not focus on getting rid of the thoughts, because that's a surefire way to engage compulsions, right? Let's focus our attention on stopping compulsions, tolerating the intrusive thoughts and the anxiety that they cause, focusing on tolerating and stopping compulsions into the future. What we'll find is that we're moving closer and closer to the goal.
Well, that's it for another episode of OCD Straight Talk. Feel free to reach out with any questions you might have to chrislines04@gmail.com. If you found the podcast helpful, consider giving it a 5-star rating or subscribing to OCD Straight Talk for structured help with your anxiety or OCD symptoms.